can take the responsibility for their career on their own. I would prefer not to work. Give them an idea that they, at the end, gain in more satisfaction from your job and from your life. How to transition to industry from the academia. You know, shift your mind from the research to actually building a company.
Hi, my name is Alina Krotova. You're listening to the podcast White Collar Lab Coat.
Today we are with Evgenia Vorobyova, technology lead in a startup Netology related to the hydrogen fuel and a co-founder of the mentorship program SciSteps. Evgenia studied physical chemistry at the Lomonosov Moscow State University and did her PhD and postdoc at the ETH Zurich. Now she works at as a technology lead in neology and coordinates the project SciSteps. Hi, Evgenia.
Hi, Alina. Thank you for the introduction, and it's my pleasure to be hosted by you today.
What does neology do, and what is your role in it?
Most likely you don't know neology because it's actually a startup. It has been launched less than 2 years ago, and we are developing the system that can provide electricity and energy in general in a sustainable manner, so without polluting our environment. Most likely you heard about hydrogen energy, hydrogen economy. There are now quite some hydrogen refueling stations in Europe, but most likely you do not know that actually to store hydrogen and to transport hydrogen is very challenging. It has to be either at 900 bar, which is a lot of pressure. And that's it's not only difficult, but it's also very dangerous because it's just an explosion possibilities. So what we are doing is we are proposing to use a different hydrogen carrier, specifically ammonia. It's it can be liquefied in a much easier way, and it's not that difficult to move and to store for a long time. And specifically what we are developing, our core technology, and that is my responsibility in the company to move forward the process of decomposition of ammonia to hydrogen. So that you can get the hydrogen back and inject it into the fuel cell and get electricity from that. And my role is to ensure that what is done is meets, I would not say the industrial standards because there are not really existing such standards, but that it matches the efficiency that we are envisioning and that there is no pollutants in the whole process of producing energy out of ammonia.
Mm-hmm. So you are kind of a research and development part of the project?
Yes, let's say you cannot separate it in such a way because in the company we are only four people mm-hmm. and all of us have to work on the same topic. We do not really do so much research. We know that you know, separate components, they exist on the market, but they have never really been ensembled in the way that we envision it. So my goal is to find a suitable component in existing form and to combine them and test them and ensure that they are all compatible with each other. So we recently actually we established our own laboratory. It also was a part of my job to find all the equipment, to also to contribute to finding the spot. Yes, and I test the components, yeah, so that the process runs smoothly and then there is no unexpected difficulties, or if they are, how to solve them.
Mm-hmm. And this job is called technology lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically the technology lead is the person who is responsible to make the particular aspect of the system work. Mm-hmm. And I'm responsible for the core of our technology, for the catalytic reactor that converts ammonia to hydrogen and maybe few next steps. Mm-hmm. But we also have other parts of the project. For example, we envision to have that system on board of a vehicle, of a heavy duty truck, for example. And there is a lot of integration onto this vehicle, and that is not what I'm expert in. So we have other people who are doing all the electric stuff around it, those components. And since I'm a chemist, yeah, my job is a bit different.
But do you work in the lab, or it's more office work? What are your regular tasks, and how is your average day look like?
So we have both. We have I have office work, and I also have the lab work. So it's approximately currently maybe 50-50% there and there. I have office work because I also search for components. I scout technologies, let's say companies who provide those solutions. I need to talk to them, order stuff. Or for example, I also work quite a lot with patents. So I scout patents, what is out there. I also check our competitors. I prepare not a due diligence, but a report of what our competitors do and what can we do better. So there is an office work, of course, and also talking to other team members. We also do it mostly in the office, because other team members, for example, they do some computational work, or there's also a lot of involvement of life cycle analysis, for example, and computing of the total cost of ownership for the truck, so that we can prove numerically that our solution is better than some other options. And that is not done by me, but our colleagues based in office most of the time. And of course, yes, there is a lab work. We have to, that's what I said earlier, have to understand that all the pieces of puzzles, they can be connected together and work smoothly. So I have to test the catalyst, for example, for those process. I have to test different reaction geometries, for example. Then there is a step of the purification of hydrogen that we get. So I also have to test maybe a few options for that. And yes, since it's a lot of catalysis there, so I have to test the catalyst at different conditions. I have to analyze the results. And for example, the last part of the work was to understand the energy consumption of the whole system. Then it's a bit different work. So I have to see how much current is passing through, what is the voltages, so all that stuff.
It seems to me like a lot of work and different research topics and office work, communication with the companies. Do you have anyone else to help you, or do you delegate some of the tasks to research labs?
Yes, that's a very good question. Yeah, in general, if anyone works in a startup where only four people, of course, you have to take on you very diverse tasks. It's not that you work only on, I don't know, catalysis or something else. Sometimes it's even not only scientific work. It also can be that I do pitches in some accelerators or incubators. So if someone wants to work in a startup, you have to understand that it's very diverse. And that's actually why I like it. In terms of if we have anyone to help us, yes, we have several projects with universities who studies a little bit more into details some particular topic. For example, we had them to develop maybe a new catalyst or to work on the reactor geometry. And now we also have a project with a university that helps us with the vehicle integration, for example. Yes, and it's also one of my tasks is to be the contact point for those universities. Since my background is academic, yeah, I have experience working with research institutions, and it's easy for me to dive into more technical topics, technical points.
And why do researchers want to research what you want them to research? Do you pay them, or do you do like joint publications? What is the interest of the universities and research?
So it's quite often that they can get grants for working with companies. The Swiss government supports quite a lot the interaction between industry and academia. And there are grants, for example, they're called InnoSwiss. It's a quite big grants you can get. And they are granted for collaboration, for, you know, knowledge transfer between university and the company, so that university can do some project that is not resulted just in a publication and, you know, knowledge gaining, but can result in a product or accelerating the economy development and particular development of the company and maybe creating a new product for society.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's very nice that such grants are existing.
Yes, exactly.
And what do you think you can do in your career path with that? What is the plan of the startup, and what is your personal plan?
So from my, let's say, general, from my position where I am, or anyone could be working in a startup, there is a lot of career paths that are open. One can go to industry, because, you know, this is a shift from academia to industry. Like, startup is already considered an industrial environment, so it's easier to go in a big corporation if someone wants. Then on the other hand, you can also open your own startup, since you overseeing all the steps of the incorporation, of what is you know, the scope of the tasks at the beginning, how do you pitch to investors, how you attract people, and what is the priority for your first demonstrator of for your first product. So that gives you that experience and maybe expertise to open your own company. Also, one can actually go back to academia if interested, because as I mentioned, we have several collaborations with Swiss universities. And you know, if you talk to those people and you express interest to work on maybe related topic from the scientific point of view, I think it would be possible that they just offer you a position, offer you a possibility there. But also there is a whole, like, different range of positions that are open. For example, the possibility of working in an accelerator or incubator, because the knowing the startup dynamics, that's very important there, and having experience in the startup. And especially if it's you envision working in the same country that your startup is, because you already know the local ecosystem. You know all the startups around you. You always meet them in different pitches, at different events. So you know people, and you know the whole system behind it. Also, there are a lot of you know, incubators in the universities. The universities help a lot. Spin-offs and like young companies. So, and sometimes they have very interesting position, really on the edge between the academia and industry. For example, the positions of technology transfer officer, they quite often they require experience in startups.
You mentioned incubators. So this is how you can go from academia to startups, as it is one of the ways to do so. And did you do this, or how did you shift from academia to startup?
So incubators or accelerators, they are programs, let's say, which give you access to knowledge how to build up your startup. They often provide coaching, of course, training sessions on the whole spectrum, on, you know, marketing, I don't know, for human resources, legal stuff, and everything. If you're just, you know, a postdoc and you want to make your own company, you really have no clue how to do it. So it's a good way to be enrolled in such accelerator or incubator, where people help you to shape yourself and your company. And this is more not to transition, but more to grow your company in a smart and sustainable way. For the topic of how did I transition? So I've been in academia for over 6 years for a PhD and postdoc. And I understood that, you know, having the paper manuscript as a result of my work, it was not enough for me anymore. To gain knowledge and then shape it in the manuscript was not enough. I wanted to contribute stronger in the society, that I see the result of my work sharper, brighter, used right now, maybe on my lifespan, so that I still can see the effect of it. Then I actually was lucky to get around me very supportive community of people who are also passionate about career and who actually use a coaching approach to understand what you like to do, what are your values, what are your talents, all those answers we have inside us, but not that often we try to find them and to apply to our career. So I did that. I understood myself much, much better. I found what I'm passionate about and what I'm good at. That narrowed down the spectra of positions and spectra, not only, you know, positions in industry, but it gave me the idea that the job in academia might not be for me, at least for now.
But why a startup, not the industrial regular position?
Yeah, that's what I found, that I like diverse tasks. I don't like doing the same task, like, you know, operational work all over and again and again and again. I like that today I do this, tomorrow I do this. And that's what mostly happens in the startups. And also, I really like to start things. It's again, I like to initiate, I like to make the processes that they work, but I would prefer not to work. So I start it, and then maybe someone else takes it and work as in operations, as a regular basis. And that's again something you can find in a startup. When you start in a company, you don't have anything around you, and you need to be creative to come up with the solutions that no one ever thought before. Otherwise, there would be no startup.
Yeah.
And yes, that's what I like to do.
But aren't there industrial positions where you still have lots of freedom of starting projects and moving them, managing them? Because I imagine startup is a really hard workplace because nothing is established and processes are not so clear as in big companies. Other positions in rather big companies that also allows you to freely do different tasks and start projects and then move them to other departments?
I think there must be, of course, yes. The thing is that what you just said, that there are no clear processes, the processes are not established, there is a lot of uncertainties, that is what I like. I'm afraid that I would feel restricted if I, you know, have to always check my badge when I come, when I go back, when I go for lunch, and if I need to wait for approval of, you know, purchase of some device for 5 months, it would drive me crazy. So I really appreciate the fast-paced environment. That's why I was looking for startup position, or maybe the position in the startup incubator, again, is a coordinator for startups, for example, or in the university something, but not as a scientist. Again, the coordinator, maybe the coordinator of a study program, for example, I also was looking at. I think that is something personal. There is no right or wrong. You just have to figure out what do you like, what is closer to you, to your nature, and then just go with that.
Yeah, makes sense. What skills do you think should people develop if they want to follow your path, go to a startup?
That's a very good question. I think that's important to be an expert in the field. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be expert in chemistry, but in any particular field where you feel yourself comfortable so that you can propose new stuff there. Or at the same time, you need to be creative So that you don't just follow the protocols that you studied before, but you can modify the procedure, modify some element, and have an innovative solution to, again, to something that has never been sought before or never been proposed before. Otherwise, there is no really startup, then it's just a business. And also, if one wants to work in a startup, it's very important to understand that there is a lot of changes all the time. And you have to be prepared to this, and you have to feel, if not comfortable with it, but resilient to constant changes and constant, you know, reprioritization of tasks, of to-do lists. So it's, I wouldn't say that it's always like a typhoon, but there is a lot of change of the wind quite often, maybe on even on a daily basis sometimes. And you need to accept that. I also think that it's very important to work in a team efficiently, especially in a startup, because the teams are small, but the expectations are quite high from each person in the team to give, I wouldn't say 100% of them, but to be dedicated to work, you know, not to criticize each other's ideas, but rather build on top of the ideas so that you can get maximum out of each person, each personality and each own mindset.
Do you have any business education? Did you take any courses or something like that? Or you just always in research and then switched to the startup?
Let's say I was always in research. I mm-hmm. do not have a specific business education. Mm-hmm. I haven't done MBA, although I have it like, you know, as an idea, maybe in 10 or 15 years, I could do that. During my stay at ETH, I took several courses on startup, how to build it, how to fund it, all the, you know, stages of startup fundings. And also I took the course on the preparation for PMP, that is the project management professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I still hope to pass exam soon to get a certificate of project manager. And that gives me, you know, the clarity of how to structure and organize the team, the process. And that's what I also apply now at SciSteps.
Do you think if a person who has no experience with business at all, but also feel connected to the words that you say, can they just apply for a position in the startup or create their own startup without any knowledge on
yeah
that?
Yeah, of course, it's quite common mm-hmm. in universities. If you see that your research going in a direction that it's potentially interested for market, there is a lot of ways that you can open your company. Quite I think even all universities supports that ideas that you create a spin-off from the university, because then university in, have shares in it, and they help you to build it as a business. So quite often the universities has their own incubators and accelerators that, as we discussed earlier, they can give you not an education, but a lot of lectures and a lot of knowledge and a lot of actually hours with coaches and with mentors. In order to, you know, shift your mind from the research to actually building a company, because it's a bit different mindset.
Of course.
That is one way, which I see like in Switzerland, a lot of that. That is not even a problem. And there is a lot of grants that universities provide. So you don't need to eat, I don't know, instant pasta all the time.
Hmm.
And also you can definitely apply in a startup. The question, if you apply as a CEO, executive officer, that might be you need to have a business background. But if you apply as research related, it may be a CTO, chief technology officer. In a small startup, that is acceptable that you do not have a business background.
Mm-hmm.
You have research and you, of course, willing to change your mind from, you know, doing research 7/24, and then because there is a lot of shifts in the priorities, how you prioritize your work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in addition to all that chaotic work lifestyle, you a year ago you also co-found and now you coordinate mentorship program. Tell us about the SciSteps a little bit.
Yes, thank you for mentioning it. I've been always passionate about sharing my experience and my expertise with younger generations. When I was at ETH during my postdoc, I really enjoyed working with younger students, telling them how to do experiments and also providing maybe some career advice to them. And yeah, a year ago, we gathered 10 people who also care and have the same values as I. And we created that mentorship program. It's an online mentorship program focused on early stage researchers in science or around science. Doesn't necessarily be a person in academia. And our vision is to provide them with not even with the possibility, but to give them an idea that they can take the responsibility for their career on their own. And not just flow where your life takes you to follow what others do, but actually to make your own decisions based on what you like, what you want, to be in the driver's seat of your career and your life in general. So how it works, we have already now, we have a pool of mentors. They are professionals also from academia, from industry, or those who transition from one area to another. Quite often they have experience in relocation as well. And all of them, they have the same pleasure to share their experience with younger generation. So once a mentee applies for the program, they also have possibility to choose like two or three mentors with whom they would like to work. And we do our best to match it in a way that would fit, let's say, both mentor and mentees. And then during the period of 3 months, the mentee works with mentor, improving their documents for, application, also shaping their career goals, or maybe even sometimes changing the career goals. Once they understood that maybe they wanted something else that they originally thought that they want. And in parallel to this, we also have a lot of lectures and workshops that aims at improving soft skills, hard skills. And also we have the approach again of coaching, so that by questions that either you can ask yourself, you can understand yourself better, and that would help you in making the decisions, and also at the end gaining more satisfaction from your job and from your life.
And what are common questions that people ask their mentors?
The requests that mentee always commonly have is that they would like to relocate from one country to another for their PhD or for their postdoc, and they might not decide yet, or even not knowing how to choose the group, how to choose the country, and what to do with their resume or with their motivation letter. How does it work? What is the process of the interviews? Or how to make the nice presentation for conference that is upcoming, for example. There are also questions quite often is how to transition to industry from the academia. Someone lost their motivation working in science, and they want to try something else, and maybe they don't really know how to do it yet. Mm-hmm. So mentors share their experience, how they did it, because most commonly they had the same steps. They already passed that way that what mentees are trying to do now. Mentors help them in a way they don't do the same mistakes. And at the end, it's results in faster achieving your goal. So you already do not invent a wheel as a mentee. You have help and advice from the people who know how to do it.
Yeah.
And apart from that, you do it faster. You also do it more rationally. Mm-hmm. When I applied, it was just trials and errors. I had a CV that my English teacher checked it. Mm-hmm. And then I just send applications to as many professors as possible. And it was like, probing the walls in a very dark room that you don't know where you're moving. So yes, given the direction, and also what is important, given the support and ensuring that you are not the only one who has these ideas, who has this passion and these ambitions, it's also very helpful especially in the current time.
Yes, thank you for explaining. And I think it's a really amazing project, and I hope that it will grow more and you could help more people. Who should I write an email if I want to be a part of the project as a mentee or as a mentor?
So we have all our contacts on the website and also on the social media. Please feel free to text us if you have any question or something is unclear from the website. We always here to help you and to reply for the emails. Typically, the application for mentors starts somewhere in October. So from mid of October to beginning of November, typically we are receiving the applications from mentors. Applications for mentees would be open in the end of November, December, somewhere in that period. And the program itself would launch in beginning of February. So typically from 1st of February to end of April, we have the cycle of the program where mentors are working with mentees.
It's absolutely free for both sides. It's just exchange of the knowledge or...
Yes, exactly. So the core of the program is for free and it would be always for free. However, if you need help right now and someone doesn't want actually to wait till February, we also have an option of the consultations that we can provide one or two consultations with the organizers of the side steps. And for this, we would ask for a donation so that we can maintain the program. We can cover the expenses that we already had from the first season. And also now we're in the process of the incorporation of the STI steps as a nonprofit organization. And that also requires some budget. Mm-hmm. So for that, we ask a donation for the consultations if someone needs them right now to change the documents or maybe to find out which direction he or she wants to take in the future, or help with the interview. We actually have quite extensive list of what we can help with.
And it's all on the website, is described there.
Yes, exactly, exactly. There you can find the form, the application form, which you can fill, and that will go directly to us and we will reply you within the next few days.
The website in the description, so feel free to go and check it out because it's an amazing website at least. And lots of work has been put into that and I'm sure it will be helpful for you.
Yeah, we already had one season of the SciStep program. We helped there over 75 mentees. Pool of mentors was 36 amazing mentors who all share their experience and expertise in what they can do and what they what they like doing.
Nice. And I hope it will grow both
ways. Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely, because our vision is to help as much an early career scientist as possible.
And what do you want to do when you grow up? What's the next goal? What's the topest goal for you?
So right now I keep my career options open and I definitely know that I want to make an impact. It might be impacts in academia, in industry, does not really matter. I envision that I would lead the development of a new technology and I would have a team who supports me in this idea, because I really like interacting with different people.
So you still thinking, still discovering, still trying different things?
Yes, I'm still checking what is on the market. Next career step, let's not talk about what I want to do in 10 years, but as a next career step, I envision having a team of professionals with whom we can maximize the impact that we can bring. It can be with the current company, Neology, where I work. I'm passionate about the topic of energy and tackling the climate change. So if that can be there, it would be amazing, you know, having more people working on it and me leading part of the development and, you know, providing my vision for making that impact.
I see. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was very interesting to talk to you about it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. It was really interesting.